families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The nomination of Neil M. Gorsuch of Colorado is confirmed.
For the first time in over a year, the nation's highest court will have a full complement of justices later today, after the Senate confirmed Supreme Court nominee Neil Gorsuch last week. Ohio Republican Senator Rob Portman says,
he's a guy that figures out how to come to a decision that people agree with on different sides of the aisle.
Secretary of State Rex Tillerson talking about the administration's priority when it comes to Syria.
Once the ISIS threat has been reduced or eliminated, I think we can turn our attention directly to stabilizing the situation in Syria.
Speaking on CBS's Face the Nation, Syria will be the big topic when Tillerson meets in Moscow with Russian officials tomorrow. This is USA Radio News.
You love your pet, right? So imagine if you were suddenly faced with thousands of dollars in veterinary care. What would you do? Could you make the difficult decision not to help your best friend? If you join PetSavingsUSA.com, you never have to make that choice or face those kind of expenses. That's because PetSavingsUSA members enjoy discounted pet insurance to cover both standard and emergency vet bills. In addition, members save up to 50% on staples like food, toys, and treats, all at major pet retailers. You'll love the money you'll save, the convenience you'll enjoy, and the peace of mind knowing your beloved pet is fully protected. Call now to take advantage of 2 free months of pet insurance and an instant $100 in savings. Call 877-835-6060. That's 877-835-6060. Or go to PetSavingsUSA.com. Call or click now for your free gift, plus 2 free months of pet insurance. Call 877-835-6060 or visit PetSavingsUSA.com.
A U.S. Navy strike group is chugging still towards the Korean Peninsula as concerns about North Korea's weapons program continue to grow. The commander of the U.S. Pacific Command ordering the strike group, led by the USS Carl Vinson, to move from Singapore to the Western Pacific Ocean over the weekend, North Korea launching another ballistic missile test last week. The Navy's USS Gerald R. Ford heading out to sea for shipbuilders' trials. Frank Hammond has details.
Over the next few days, Navy sailors, personnel from Newport News Shipbuilding and Naval Sea Systems Command staff will be working side-by-side to test the aircraft carrier systems, components, and compartments at sea. This is the first time that the first of class USS Gerald R. Ford is underway under its own power. The aircraft carrier, which has been under construction for years, is to be commissioned later this year. Frank Hammond in Richmond.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then US Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles when we can do the work for you? Our producers go through every newspaper in the country and pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today. The daily links at USSportsPages.com.
Impeachment proceedings will get started today in Alabama against the state's Republican Governor Robert Bentley. The House Judiciary Committee will convene to determine if criminal charges will be formally filed against the governor stemming from his alleged 2015 affair with his aide Rebecca Mason. Governor Bentley has repeatedly denied that he's done anything illegal or unethical. Perhaps you got one of these phone calls. An arrest has been made in India of an alleged call center mastermind who was bilking Americans out of millions of dollars, and it worked for a while, as we hear from Lisa Campbell.
The scam took millions of people and their money, $300 million in all. Sagar Thacker, also known as Shaggy, was arrested Saturday at Mumbai International Airport. The alleged scam involved people posing as IRS agents, threatening threatening fines or prison time if victims didn't pay up. He's charged with posing as an IRS agent, conspiracy to commit identity theft, wire fraud, and money laundering.
Spaniard Sergio Garcia has beaten American Justin Rose in a playoff to win the 81st Masters at Augusta National. And it's a moment that Chicago's Cubs and their fans have waited more than a century for. The team will raise their World Series champion banner at their home opener tonight at Wrigley Field. You can find us online anytime at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Huntington Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
Local weather here today at HuntertonChamberRadio.com for the Flemington area. A little look into the next few days. Today's sunny. It's already mid-60s out there. High could approach in the 70s today. Tonight, cloudy, low in the 50s. Sunny on Tuesday. High could get near 80. Slight chance of showers Tuesday evening. Only a 20% chance, though. And then Wednesday, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms. Highs will be close to 70. Wednesday, slight chance of showers earlier in the evening. Otherwise, lows will be in the 40s. Clearing up on Thursday night. Sunny on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Highs in the 60s, low in the 40s at night. And from here, slight chance of showers on Sunday, but possibly not. Slight chance. Highs will be in your 70s. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Hey, good morning, or whenever you're listening. Afternoon, evening. It's Chef Bill here at the table, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, coming to you on Mondays or any day you like through our archives, talking about food celebrations and anything that falls within that scope, right? Well, nice change in the weather in the Northeast. Our chives and our herb garden are coming up already. We've got a get some things planted here. I made my doing kind of retro things once in a while, and I think I mentioned last week, green goddess dressing. Very good. Make with fresh herbs. It's the classic recipe is parsley, mainly parsley and a little bit of tarragon. I put some basil in there, and instead of scallion, I use chives and a little Lee and Perrin sauce instead of crushed anchovy, and very good dip. I'm going to try to serve it with crudités. I guess we'll call them crudités or vegetables. Sugar snap peas were great that came in, and of course the asparagus is running nicely. So looking at the lettuce crisis, it's been happening in Europe for a while, United Kingdom especially. Certain lettuces and vegetables have been scarce or unavailable. In fact, I think on my delivery today, I got shorted on romaine. Romaine's the big issue. Everything's expensive. Romaine is, you can't get it. It's between seasons and weather issues on either end, the end of one season and the beginning of another. And it's just created this huge shortage. And of course, you know, with everybody from fast food on up serving Caesar salad, there's all the romaine, just like when avocados go haywire. It affects a lot of people. A lot of restaurants use these products. So substitutes, probably, iceberg leaf lettuce are available, but pretty expensive. But if you want to go in a different direction, the spring mix or baby greens, mesclun, whatever you want to call them, a lot of those are done hydroponically too, so pretty good availability on those. And it's an interesting mix. It doesn't have the quite the crunch of a romaine heart or a romaine or an iceberg, but nonetheless good salad. If you frisée or chicory, if you want something a little bit on the bitter side, arugula and radicchio always around, and spinach. Thought of spinach. Fresh spinach. We cook spinach a lot, you know, popular vegetable, many ways to use it, stuffings, and I actually will chop spinach, use it as a kind of an herb, even in a cold sauce, if you like. If you want to make a real nice green sauce for pasta or for fish or cold poached food, spinach always helps. If you're making a green rice, traditionally it would be outside leaves of romaine, but spinach would work fine. You want to cook the spinach with the rice to get it tinged that nice pale green. But spinach as a salad, we always think of it with the warm bacon dressing or some kind of warm dressing and kind of wilts the spinach a little bit. We used to serve it at the restaurant at Jake's with we call it a steakhouse dressing. And actually this dressing, you can make it very easy to make it off the shelf, as we say. If you've ever been to Peter Luger's, you see they call their sauce, and it's not really a steak sauce. It's more of a sauce for the tomato and onion. I don't think I would put steak sauce on a primed porterhouse. And this is kind of a take on that. And this, I'll give you, this will make quite a bit. You can always scale up or down in proportion. Everything works. So we'll take a cup of chopped onion, white onion, and 1.5 cups of ketchup. Now, if you want it a little chunkier like Luger's, probably could use half ketchup and half regular chili sauce. Nothing fancy, just good old regular tomato chili sauce. We would need a half cup of Worcestershire sauce. Good half cup. You'd be surprised what a nice seasoning that is. A cup of white vinegar, distilled vinegar. 2 cups of sugar, and get the extra fine sugar. Dissolves easier. A cup of horseradish, and then calls for 4 cups of vegetable oil. So as I say, this makes quite a lot, but you can cut it in half, cut it in fourths, whatever you want to do, although the dressing will hold up. So in a processor, we put everything except the oil and blend it up nicely. The onion, so it's pureed. So really you're looking for onion juice. And with the ketchup, the chili, or the chili sauce, or both, everything, the sugar, get that nice and blended, and then because this is a large batch, we would take it out and then whisk in the oil. And it may separate over time, but you just whisk the oil back in. Now, I'm sure the steak sauces that this reminds you of don't really have oil on them or not too much. But the oil, it makes a nice dressing for spinach. It's tomatoey. It's sweet, sour. You've got the sugar, vinegar. Ketchup is that perfect combination of things. So a nice, we call it a steakhouse dressing, or you could call it a tomato vinaigrette if you like. But taking, again, spinach into a different dressing. And then, of course, you know, the another nice salad we used to do with spinach and basil. And using basil as a salad green. So if you get nice large leaves of basil and some spinach, maybe a ratio about 4-1. So if you have 4 cups of spinach, maybe a cup of basil leaves. You could increase the basil if you like, but it gives a nice nice flavor to the salad. And we would do it with a pine nut dressing. The pignoli nuts, the pine kernels, we toast them. And you kind of like, it's kind of like making a, what we call like a peanut sauce for a cold noodle salad. Really, it's a nice puree. You know, a couple of eggs, it's emulsified. And make the dressing with the pureed pine nuts and eggs and a little, you could use lemon juice, oil. And it should be a nice creamy dressing. And then that with maybe a little bit of some kind of nice shredded cheese on top would give you a great salad. Again, not with a hot dressing, but with a cold dressing. And of course, if you like slaw, coleslaw, you can always do one made with, I used the Napa cabbage. We use that for an Asian slaw. A little softer than the regular green cabbage. And that shredded up with some shredded vegetables in it, carrots, even peppers on the box grater, or julienne with a mandolin or a vegetable slicer. Could be done with, again, you know, your sesame vinaigrette or a peanut sauce if you like. Thin it out a little bit with some water. Tahini. Anything like that with the cabbage works well. Think of cabbage and peanuts, of course, down south go well together. And you could flesh this out with a little bit of baby greens if you like. But the cabbage, and use, if you leave one, use a little red cabbage in there or some radicchio, again, something softer. So there's some nice salad alternatives out there while we wait out this romaine supply.
Your everlasting summer, you can see it fading fast. So you grab a piece of something that you think is going to last.
We're break for a couple of messages here, and then we're going to talk about Easter, sourcing your roast for Easter, or a couple of strategies for your brunch. Chef Bill's Table.
Stowing away the time. Are you gathering at the tees?
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Crunch, 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 just a little more crunch. At Pambies, we know what you want, and that's what we give. A little more crunch in your ice cream cake. Pambies Crunch is laced with the finest chocolate for that delicious mouthful. Why wait for a special occasion? Get a cake today. Pambies ice cream and cakes are on sale at ShopRite, 30% off in Flemington and Clinton till April 15th while supplies last. Pambies, all natural and purely delicious.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Here at the table, at Chef Bill's table, 100andchamberradio.com. And what are we going to do for Easter? Are we going to have brunch? Are we going to have early dinner, late dinner? Probably having a gathering with the family and other spring feasts may coincide, usually in April. Trying to look forward to the growing season, right? And Easter, you know, normally coincides with Passover, which is both Western religions, you know, celebrating for a little bit different reason, although the resurrection, center of the whole Christian church here, is Easter. Everybody makes the big deal about Christmas, but really it's Easter that is the center of the whole thing. And the eggs we use, you know, that celebrates new life. There's other probably rituals or feast based in non-religious areas, and there's other spring celebrations too in many cultures, but Easter seems to be what you know, everybody well call it Easter, and we celebrate, of course, with Easter egg hunts and lots of candy and things. The point being that the treats that we've sacrificed for 40 days and given up something, that was always what we did as kids. And then of course then you got this onslaught of stuff on Easter. I always like the eggs, though, the hard-boiled eggs. And today, I'm thinking of maybe a brunch, if you're doing it, a way to actually use some of all these eggs, because, you know, coloring the eggs, I mean, it goes back to this, I think it was from German, probably origins. There was this hare that would lay eggs, I guess, and there were different colored eggs. And then there's other symbolisms for the colored eggs. But anyway, it's a nice activity with the kids. And there's decals. You can do all these things. Hard-boiled eggs are great, especially if you want them easy to peel, though, I would recommend leaving them out at room temperature for a couple of days. One day out of refrigeration is the same as 1 week in refrigeration. So very, very fresh eggs. They're great for frying because the egg whites are nice and thick and it kind of stands up in the pan there. But for peeling, the eggs are better if they have a little bit of age on them. You don't want them old, meaning out of date, but a couple of days out wouldn't hurt. Plus, if you're going to boil them, you shouldn't start with a cold egg anyway. You should start with a room temperature egg so you don't crack the shell. If you've had that happen, or don't drop them into boiling hot water, and when they're cold, it's that temperature shock will do that. Then, of course, you go to dye them. The dye gets in the egg and blah, blah, blah. So you cold water, cold eggs, or room temperature eggs, and bring them to a simmer. You don't have to have a hard boil. It's about 10 minutes. And what I do, of course, after about 10 minutes, you take with a perforated slotted spoon, take one egg out, and just count to 10. Like it's 10 seconds. And if the egg dries completely, then good sign that it's done all the way through. That means the core temperature has been reached. If you're doing a large batch, of course, you always got to sacrifice one, right? Better to be sure. So you just crack one open and make sure that it's cooked all the way. Then chilling them down. It doesn't have to be ice water, just cool running water. Let them chill, and then you can go on to whatever you're doing. Or if you're coloring them, you have to do the vinegar water, the whole thing. But make sure they cool down a little bit. But once eggs are hard-boiled like that, if the shell's intact, they last a long time, even a lot longer than raw eggs. So good convenience food to have on hand, good snack. It's healthy for you. So found it, again, thinking of retro things, the an old recipe. I remember eggs goldenrod, and for some reason I thought it was maybe some hard-cooked eggs on, you know, cut in half or slight. I knew it was with a cream sauce. So looking it up, and of course it's creamed egg, but you cream the chopped whites, and with the yolks, you sieve them so they're fine little pieces there, and those are sprinkled over top, look like the flour, I guess. And in the creamed egg, you could have other additions if you like strips of ham, you like little asparagus, served on biscuits. You could put it on muffins. It would be, but actually to make a batch of them would be good if you're feeding a crowd. And really best made with freshly cooked eggs, but if you have to use your extra hard-boiled eggs, might not be a bad way to do it. Eggs goldenrod. And you're making a white sauce. And here's a thought, too, on sauces, because even when we talk about the roasts and meats, it's good to have a sauce base, and usually thickened with flour, which is called a roux, flour and fat. If you need to avoid flour, of course, you make a little slurry out of cornstarch or arrowroot and water or cold broth. Slurry is just mixing it till it's about the texture of heavy cream. Add that to the boiling liquid and thickens up right away. The roux, a little longer to make, and that's the base for what we teach in culinary, the mother sauces. So if you know you need a sauce for your roast, nice to have a brown sauce on hand, or velouté, as we call it, a thickened chicken broth. A white sauce, the bechamel, is the base for, of course, everybody's favorite. Oh, most people's mac and cheese, not mine, but most people knowing how to make a white sauce is good. And for roux, what often happens, I see in so many recipes for homemakers, is they start by melting some butter. And all right, yeah, butter, fat, and flour. The problem with that is in butter is about 20% of other liquids than fat. And unless you're getting all that liquid out of there, you wonder why your sauce is always lumpy or the roux isn't cooking properly. That's the reason. You've got some water in there. And so you either clarify the butter or use some ghee, the Indian product, clarified butter. Clarified butter is easy to do in the microwave. You melt the butter, and then you could just chill it. And the yellow solid part at refrigerator temperature is your clarified butter, and the rest you pour off. You can either even rinse off the milk solids from the good yellow part with cold water, and now you've got something that's just pure butter fat. The other option is to use oil, and we do this many times. Canola oil is great because it doesn't have any flavor to it. You wouldn't use olive oil unless you wanted that flavor of olive oil. So canola oil is very good to use, very neutral oil, safe. It's not peanut oil. It's not soy. It's not, you know, things that may have an allergen to some people. And you make, you know, you mix your flour and oil together, heat it, and you have to cook the roux a little bit. You've got to cook the starch out of the flour. The other option, of course, is to use Wondra flour, the pre-gelatinized flour. And that we found we could, you know, you can make a slurry or you can just actually sprinkle it in. If you're good with it, sprinkle it slowly and stir with a whisk. You don't get any lumps. But making your roux for either your white sauce with milk or with your velouté or your brown sauce, important to do. It's equal parts. You make your flour and your oil and cook it over low heat. Of course, the Cajuns pride their roux. You make the brown roux or the black roux, which is pretty awesome. It's a little time sensitive. You have to really watch it, but adds the flavor to etouffees. So with your white sauce for the eggs goldenrod, you've got your basic white sauce bechamel with salt and pepper, and then a little cayenne if you like, or lean parents, whatever you like. This mustard would be good in there. And then your chopped egg whites, and then just sprinkle the yolks on top, as I said. Another thought, deviled eggs, if you're doing a brunch, maybe wouldn't be a bad idea. And we like to do those classically, although there's seem to be a little resurgence on, especially casual menu bar, wine bars and brew pubs. Deviled eggs are always good, and you know, you put smoked salmon, you can put crab meat. Years ago, an associate of mine would actually put another old product, deviled ham. If anybody remembers Underwood deviled ham, these little cans of potted ham with the devil on it. He would mix that in there. So anything can go in a deviled egg, but the classic, again, you take your yolks and run them through a fine mesh strainer. We call it sieving them. And my wife, deviled egg fans, and we always use a little soft butter in there, I think, from Julia Child, or a French technique. Because normally it's mayonnaise, but a little bit of softened butter helps a lot, especially after the eggs are chilled. They hold their shape. If you've piped a nice decoration into the deviled egg, it's chilled. Now if something bumps into it, it's not going to destroy it. That little bit of soft butter, when it is chilled, hardens up. But you want to make sure it's blended in well. And again, a little mustard, pepper. You shouldn't need any salt. Mayonnaise and the butter both have enough salt in them. Or any other flavoring you want in there. Or put a little deviled egg bar. Top the deviled eggs with a little sliver of something, whether it's ham or a little piece of crab meat, smoked salmon, tiny shrimp, all kinds of things, or even some poached vegetable. But deviled eggs, great brunch dish. I think you could combine the two. Make deviled eggs and warm them up and put some of the white sauce over top and make a deviled egg casserole. Combine the goldenrod and the deviled eggs together. Who knows? We've got a break for quick news, and then we'll be back looking at the roasts, the ham, the lamb, what to look for, and a couple of ideas for preparation. Chef Bill's Table.
Darling, don't you leave my room at night.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
I applaud the president for doing what he did to enforce that red line that President Obama drew 3 years ago, but did nothing to enforce.
Senate Republican of Texas John Cornyn saying President Trump's decision to launch a missile attack on Syria sends a specific message, and not just to Syria.
There's a new administration in charge of our national security policy.
Cornyn saying on Fox News Sunday that's the message to Bashar al-Assad, the leader of Syria, but also to the Russians, North Korea, and Iran. Neil Gorsuch is now a Supreme Court justice. Here's Sharon Reed.
He was sworn in this morning in a private ceremony at the Supreme Court. A public ceremony is being held later this morning at the White House. Last week, Republicans triggered a so-called nuclear option and changed Senate rules to advance Gorsuch.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
And now, Jonathan Cahn opens up today's mystery from the Book of Mysteries.
In the Book of Mysteries, the teacher leads the disciple into the Chamber of Garments, and there reveals to him the mantle of Messiah. In the Bible, the mantle or the cloak represented one's calling and anointing. When Moses went up to God, the mantle fell on Joshua. When Elijah went up to heaven at the end of his ministry, his mantle fell on Elisha. Messiah also ascended to heaven, but on whom did his mantle fall? The answer is Messiah's mantle so big it couldn't possibly fall on any one person. It falls on all of us. Each one has a part, and it fell on the day of Pentecost, and Messiah's mantle is now given to you. How do you fulfill your calling? By finding it in his calling, by living it in his power, and walking by his spirit. For the mantle of Messiah has fallen on you, and in that you can do all things through him who strengthens you.
The Book of Mysteries will change your life, and it's now available online and wherever books are sold. And at mysteriesbook.com. That's mysteriesbook.com.
Yeah.
table here at Chef Bill's Table, talking about Easter. So ham, traditional dish. Normally the hams were put up in the fall or when things were very seasonal. And then, of course, they're cured and then smoked. So what do we look for? You hear of Virginia ham and Black Forest ham and country ham, city ham, country ham, or Virginia style, I guess you'd have to call it. A lot of those are not really country hams. Country ham, if you think of prosciutto that's cured, the country hams are cured with the salt and smoked. And they're not really cooked. Both are preservation methods, oftentimes covered with a nice black pepper cure also. First time I ran into one of these, first summer I was chef at a resort, and one of the guests, they lived on one of the camps near the resort, and he said, "Oh, I have this ham that's too big for my oven. Can you cook it?" Because, of course, commercial ovens, we have bigger ovens. So, "Oh, yeah, just drop it off." So it's in a bag. I didn't look at it. I figured out it's a ham. You just, you know, take the wrapper off and put it in the oven and heat it up. So I go, I open this thing up, and it's just ugly black pepper all over it. And, of course, smells delicious. It was in a cloth sack inside this bag. And, what are we going to do with this? So you have to wash off the cure. You have to, you know, and there might be a little mold on the outside from on the rind, which is fine. You're just going to wash it off just like cheese. It doesn't hurt you. So I'm figuring, you know, it's like just a couple hours. So now this guest is going to pick this ham up. Like, what am I going to do? So I simmered it for a while after I washed it. And you can do this with a country ham or braise it in some liquid in the oven. But simmering it, or what a lot of people recommend, is to soak it for 2 or 3 days, change the water to draw out some of the salt. Very salty. That's why normally it's served in just little small thin slices. And once the ham was heated to the internal temperature, we skinned off the rind and then put a glaze on it. And a glaze, you know, could be white wine, mustard, and a little honey, if you like, or something, usually something sweet and something, a little bit of mustard to glaze the ham. We like that sweetness. What I like to do with baking ham is use ginger ale and water, half and half water. It's going to evaporate, but that leaves you some nice pan juices that you can add to your sauce. So normally what you're going to buy is what's called a city ham. They got a little bit of water added. It's cured and smoked, but not anywhere near the process of a true country ham. Now you see all the time center cut ham slices, which are nice. They have the bone in. That's nice for a small family. You know, this ham steak could serve a couple of people if you like. Easy to cook. You can do it right in the pan and save the brownings in the pan. Of course, for the country ham, people like the red eye gravy with a little bit of coffee or water to deglaze the pan. What I like to do is, again, if you have a sauce ready, some brown sauce, then you can just add the pan juices to it. Maybe I like a little Madeira in there, or another nice sauce is a sherry vinegar with raisins. You plump some raisins into some warm chicken broth, and it's simply some shallots, and you can add a little thickener to it, a little flour if you like. Saute the shallots and then use some sherry vinegar, maybe a little bit of sherry also, but the vinegar is good. And you have to add the plumped raisins with the broth. Of course, the raisins provide the sweet. So you've got a nice sweet and sour sauce. So anyway, back to the hams. So center slices you see, then you see the shank half, and you see the butt half. And usually the butt half is a little bit more money. And well, that the reason for that is it yields a little bit better. The shank half, of course, you have the shank on there, which once it's roasted, what we like to do is save the shank and simmer it, make some nice stock out of it, make pea soup or bean soup, anything like that that would call for a ham flavoring. And then you'd take the shank out after it's cooked for even longer than roasting it and shred the meat and put it back in the soup. Get all that flavor from the bone there. And other than that, the shank half's fairly easy to carve. But you know, a good amount of bone there that you're not going to be serving for dinner. The butt half has usually the H bone, so a little bit harder to carve, but nice, better yield, more meat per pound. So choose your, which end, depending on if you're going to use some leftovers or not. Say the shank half gives you better stock for down the road. The butt half with the H bone, that's not so much. You might get some scraps out of that. But anyway, so watch the water content. And usually price follows quality on this. If something that's very, very cheap, there could be a lot of water in it. So what you start off with is not really what you're going to end up with. They're brined, pumped up a little bit, of course, keeps them tender. But so a lot of that water will cook out when you're roasting it. So ginger ale and water. You know, if you like the, you know, the pineapples on it with the cloves add a nice touch to it. Just kind of perfume the ham a little bit. And if you like fruit with it, go for it. Some mustard fruits might even be good for something a little exotic, the Cremona Mostarda, the Italian condiment. The other ham, spiral hams. And it seems like, oh, it's already sliced. Well, those actually cook up pretty well. And you buy a good brand of spiral ham. They've got the slicing mechanism. Kind of reminds you of a Hasselback potato, right, where the slice the potato thin, and as it cooks, it spreads apart a little bit. So the advantage to a spiral ham, easy to carve. You make your glaze once the ham is starting to cook. You're just really warming it up. It's already cooked. And your glaze, you've got kind of your crispy outsides there, just like, a baked Hasselback potato, which might actually be a nice thing to serve with your ham, right? You've got the oven on anyway. Might as well do something like that. So as I say, cooking the ham, the instructions, you know, how many minutes per pound. You're trying to get that temperature back up to about 163 degrees around there, just for safety reasons, especially not in a country ham so much as a, well, the city ham. You want to, even though it could be deemed ready to eat, if you're warming it, I still think bringing it to that safe temperature is important. Now, lamb traditional roast would be my favorite, my choice for Easter. And lamb, of course, again, many forms to buy it in. If you're a small group, you may consider using the rack, which is fairly expensive, but quick to cook, cooks in about 35 minutes or so. Very nice, you know, top grade lamb. But the lamb sirloin is another thought, and they're fabricating those now. They're small. They're only a couple of pounds each, maybe 2 to 3 pounds. It's between the lamb loin chops and the leg. So it's that most tender part of the leg, I guess. Used to buy steaks like that. The butcher would cut. You'd get maybe two or possibly three steaks from that part and grill those and serve them. But now it's usually a boneless roast. They're small roasts. You can cut slices if you like, but they cook up fast, very lean. When I'm cooking lamb, the leg I look for, bone in, of course, a little bit better if you have the space and the time. I found one time, I think, well, they'd probably take the sirloin off, so the three-quarter leg. And the problem with lamb, I think most people run into, is that it's too gamey, it's too lamby. And our American lamb especially is not that way at all. But take the fat off. Take, you know, instead of just what we used to call the fell, the papery types, tougher fat, take it right down to the meat. Now, you'll still want to rub a little butter oil on it when you're roasting it to kind of lubricate it so it doesn't dry out. But if you're not really sure about the flavor, I've done that with the leg, and really it's like just like the most tender steak you could have, especially the lamb sirloin. So either boneless or bone in, I say. American lamb is good, a little pricier. Certainly New Zealand and Australian. New Zealand is grass-fed, smaller. Usually you just see the legs or the racks. We use the racks for the baby lamb, the appetizer, lamb pops. They're great because they're just like one or two bites. And also, if you're looking to buy local, when you buy pork products or lamb, I mean, a lot of the local farms may not raise beef cattle, but certainly you'll find lamb if you're looking to keep something local, something for a treat, and get a leg of lamb or get a, even if it's a shoulder, you braise a shoulder roast to be very nice for your Easter treat. But traditionally lamb, it's kind of the, you know, between that and ham is the is tradition. Now, we're also going to offer this year at Jake's, we're going to do turkey, but not Thanksgiving style, not the whole. We're going to do turkey breast and season it with some lemon and some thyme, kind of, you know, bring a little spring flavor to it. We're not going to do the fall stuffing with those cold weather herbs in there, the sage and everything. We're just going to take it in a, just to have it. It's nice and lean. It's just going to be the white meat. What we're buying is what's called a French cut turkey breast. If you see the what's called the airline or French cut chicken breast, it's just the boneless breast, the skin on, and the first wing joint attached, like a little the little drumstick. So if you get a turkey breast, you can have the butcher bone it out for you. Just have the two sides of turkey breast. I would use probably a compound butter under, a little thyme and lemon zest, salt and pepper, and rub the underneath the skin with a compound butter and have a nice seasoning. Make a sauce from the pan juices. Again, if you don't have any stock, you could make a chicken veloute and then use the pan drippings in there to make a nice sauce. If you wanted to combine the best of both, I guess, to get a smoked turkey breast, then you've got the flavor of the ham, and you've got the advantage of it being poultry. We've got a break for a couple of messages here, and then we'll be back to share a couple of other thoughts on Easter celebration meal.
For you goose me, take a look at yourself.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, law offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
100 Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Back at the table here at Chef Bill's table at 100inchamberradio.com. So sauce for the ham and sauce for your lamb, right? It's we talked about making a brown sauce base that you could use, and if you don't have any homemade stock, which a lot of people don't, you could do a nice one just with some regular beef broth. If you like low sodium, it's fine. But we'd start that with, you're going to saute some diced carrot and onion. And get them soft, and we're going to make a little bit of roux because you're going to saute them in oil, and add a little bit of flour to it, just enough to absorb your oil, and also then add some tomato paste, not puree, but good old tomato paste. And if you find it in a squeeze tube so you can save it, all the better. I know it's available like that if you don't use too much. But the tomato paste, cooking the tomato paste with the vegetables, even though it's an already cooked product, sautéing it does release some flavor. And so you've got this nice, fairly thick, you've got to stir it constantly. You're going to add your broth. I usually add the broth in three parts, third, third, and third. The first third, let it come up. It's going to be very, very thick, but you stir rapidly then and kind of keep the lumps from forming. And then your second, third, bring it to a simmer, and then your third. And then you can adjust the thickness if you like. You need to add more. It's hard to, if you've got it too thin, you just simply simmer it for a little while. We call that reducing. It's going to cook off some of the water. And then you can either buzz this with a immersion blender if you want to save all the vegetables, or you can strain it out. But you've got a nice sauce base now. So you've taken canned broth and enhanced it. A little thyme in there, a little parsley, some black pepper, bay leaf if you like, and just really, I think with the addition of the tomato product, you're giving it a little bit more body, a little bit more mouthfeel. And to this, for ham, you could add some Madeira and maybe some of the pan juices with that nice ginger ale in there. You could saute some additional onion, some white wine, a little dash of vinegar, and mustard, and add the brown sauce to that to get a sauce Robert. If you like that sauce, actually julienne some cornichon pickles and put them in there, a little sweet sour effect, and you'll get the charcuterie sauce. All those are good with ham. I know in the first place I worked, they would take mixed fruits and just kind of heat them up, some cherries, and basically look like a fruit cocktail that was thickened up. And I guess, 60s, 50s, people like that, but could do much better now. And then for lamb, again, pan gravy. If you cook doing a leg roast, always put some, what we call mirepoix, the onion and carrot and celery. And hey, by the way, if you're pureeing the vegetables in the sauce, what I've found, use some celery root instead of branch celery. Celery root keeps forever. It will puree. It looks kind of ugly. There's some trimming to do on it. It has the same flavor. But using that, if you're thickening soups, if you're making mashed potatoes, a little celery root in there doesn't, give it a whole different flavor. Or just make a celery root puree as a side dish. It's more for the cooler weather, but we're bridging that time between winter and spring here, so even for us, our vegetable mix, we'll use the English peas, which everybody, and the little tiny onions, but we will add a couple of root vegetables to that diced up. So we've got that, again, bridging that gap, the seasons there. We don't have the spring or summer growth, and at least in the Northeast. know, in side dishes, again, favorite vegetable, asparagus is good right now. Whether you're roasting it, you could steam it, and actually, if you wanted to serve, we've served that as a salad course, warm asparagus with hollandaise. If hollandaise isn't your thing, a little too difficult, or you don't want it that rich, a little variation on that would be a sabayon, normally a dessert sauce, but you can certainly make that savory. Don't add any sugar to it, and instead of Marsala wine, use some white wine, or even use a little bit of water and lemon juice. If you wanted to make it for seafood, you could use a little dry vermouth, maybe a little clam juice, but it's really that same proportion of one egg yolk to 1 ounce of wine. And what happens, you're going to whisk that over a simmering water bath, and the volume increases. It gets nice and fluffy, and of course the custard will set. You don't want to overdo it and scramble the eggs, but you'll have a nice quick sauce that's not as tricky as trying to make the emulsion of a hollandaise. Plus, you know, it's a little bit less fattening. Dessert for Easter. What do we do? The fruits aren't, you know, the fruits haven't happened yet. We've had our share of the some people, I mean, we used to do carrot cake, and again, carrots, you think of spring, but then you've got your spices, your cool weather spices, I call them, in there, which is nice. Carrot cake's all right, but I thought of something I hadn't had in a long time, ricotta pie, and you'll see different proportions for it, but basically, you're making a custard pie, which is always nice anyway, but you're using some ricotta cheese in it. Now, most of the ricotta, it's in the store, sealed up. It's kind of not like what we used to get. We used to get this really dry ricotta that you would actually could drain for this. Be a little bit fluffier. It's almost like a fine cottage cheese. If you can find that, fine. But what you're doing, again, you remember your, you know, one egg to one cup proportions. You can make a with ricotta and eggs. Some people add some candied fruit or some chocolate chips. I like it, maybe a little orange or lemon zest would be good in there. You can put anisette in there. Flavor it the way you like, but I would do blind bake the pie crust, and usually it's a sweet pie, like a pie or a tart dough, but blind bake at 350, meaning line it with parchment, put the pie weights or the dried beans in there, and just partially bake the crust, just add 10 or 12 minutes, just so it doesn't get too soggy. And then you make your filling, say, 2 pounds of ricotta, 3/4 cup of sugar, 1 tablespoon of vanilla, 5 eggs. Mix that till it's mixed nice and smooth, and then that would make you a nice 10-inch pan. 350, it'd take about an hour to bake. You'd want it slow. When it, make sure the custard is set, you always put a table knife, a clean knife in there, and if the knife comes out clean, then you're all set. I think one of my bakers used to put, instead of the candied fruit, even you could sprinkle some little sprinkles, right, that you put on the your ice cream sundaes. You can put those on top, right, when you take the pie out of the oven, sprinkle some of those on there, give you some color. But the ricotta pie would be a nice finish. Again, you can't get in too many eggs on Easter. Another idea for brunch, and something could be served warm, but probably usually served cold, a pizza rustica. Again, I go back to spending a lot of time in Italian restaurants, but this loaded with meats, and again, you've got some ricotta. It's kind of, I guess if you think of a calzone, it runs into a stromboli. But it's double crushed. You make it in a big, you could use a big springform pan. It's a yeast-raised dough. And you've got your ricotta with your mozzarella, kind of like your calzone filling, but you layer all the meats in there. That some people put the first layer of maybe capicola, and then your other meats are chopped. You can have cooked sausage, some pepperoni, some prosciutto, some regular ham, and you load it up. And you put that filling in there. Of course, you've got some eggs and cheese to set the ricotta. kind of still like doing a custard. Seal it up with the top crust and bake it, and really much better after it sits for a while. It could be room temperature, but often served cold. But would be, if you have time ahead of time, it would be nice to be able to pull that out for a Easter brunch.